fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue today to talk about Paul's letter to the Romans. Before I do, I just want to remind you tonight on EWTN 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time television, we'll be crossing the goal. It'll be on Sunday night as well at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. I encourage you to watch the program. They're good. We did about 153 shows on crossing the goal, touching lots of different themes. The shows are directed toward men, but not exclusively to men. I meet all over the country. I meet wonderful women, sisters in the Lord of all ages who say, "Hey, I watch Crossing the Goal. Is that okay? Or I know it's a men's show, but I really like it." So no, we love it that you watch it. And we thank you for your prayers, your support. It means so much. There's a great battle on. I just want to talk to the sisters who are, and the women who are listening to the program today. Maybe you know this even better than I do. There's a great battle on in America for the hearts of men. There just are so many distractions and so many ways in which the culture is trying to emasculate men or to distract men and to get them to just go for the world rather than go for the kingdom of God. I just was reading an article yesterday that showed statistics how many men, young men, are delaying marriage till they're in their 30s, how much the statistics showing very kind of dramatic change in how men are deciding to not even get married. And it's got to do with the culture. And baptized men who have been baptized in Christ, raised Catholic, raised Christian, many of them are getting deeply affected and formed by the broader culture. And they're living like the world. Because they're not dialed fully into Christ, they're not radically pursuing Him. He's not the center of their life. They haven't come to know Him and really surrendered their lives to Him. So they might have 1 foot in the kingdom or maybe 1.5 feet in the world and a half a foot in the kingdom of God or a toe in the kingdom of God, thinking they kind of want to hedge their bets just in case, you know, heaven and hell is real. And if it's real and eternity is real, they don't want to end up in the wrong place. So you kind of throw the Lord a bone and give Him some attention on occasion, but mainly their hearts are somewhere else. And so there's all kinds of statistics I could go through to say that, to show that, but I just want to exhort and thank the women that are listening to the program. I know you, many women, are praying all the time for their husbands and their sons, and they're troubled by it. And I think we should be troubled by it. We should trust the Lord and trust in the power of our prayer and our witness. But Crossing the Goal exists as one simple tool to help inspire men, to challenge men. Many men are walking away from the church or in this kind of minimalist position in relationship to the church because they don't know what they're missing. When you're sort of tangentially attached to the church or you're taking a minimalist approach, it usually means that you've been catechized at some level but not evangelized. You know a little bit about the church, and what you know is the oughts and the things you're supposed to do. Oftentimes, they have not yet met the Lord, the pearl of great price, and haven't come alive in the faith. And Catholicism, Christianity, is a drag if you don't know Christ. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is a new life in Jesus Christ. And until you know that and experience it in a life-changing way, the church is going to be difficult and boring and unattractive. But once you really know the Lord, once you've received Him into your heart and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal Him to you and who He is and His glory and majesty and power, it is a game changer. It will absolutely reorder, reorganize, recalibrate your internal scales of what you value and what you don't value. The things you used to dread having to let go of, or the things you used to dread having to do, it'll change in an amazing way. You'll start to love what Christ has called you to do and live the way He's called you to live, which brings me to the reading today. Yesterday, I talked about Romans chapter 12, which was earlier in the week, one of the passages that the church gave us in the liturgies, the church leading us through Romans, and yesterday was focusing on the spiritual gifts we've been given, that now we've been baptized into Christ and become His followers and His disciples, and we've literally been given new power to live in a new capacity, to live a new way of life. And that new way of life includes, in this new body of Christ, we're united to brothers and sisters, this new way of life includes spiritual gifts. And Paul lists them: prophecy, ministry, teacher, someone who exhorts, those who contribute, all this. He exhorts us and teaches us to say, look, these spiritual gifts come from the Lord, and these gifts and others like them have been distributed among all the baptized. Jesus made a deposit in each of those who have become his followers, so that we can draw on that deposit of gifting and empowerment to do the things that he's calling us to do. It's part of the journey forward. We're not just meant to turn away from sin. We're meant to turn toward God, to have our sins forgiven, to receive a new power and a new capacity to live with and for Jesus, live a new way of life that's the life of the kingdom here and now. And that means exercising the gifts that he's given us so that the body can be healthy. One of the reasons why some parishes, some dioceses, and some families are not healthy is because we're not yet alive fully in Christ, and we're not exercising those spiritual gifts that are distributed among the body to make the body function well. Paul, listen, those who have gifts for prophecy, that is to really encourage and exhort and build up the body and to help people see what God is doing and how God is directing us. There's people in parishes all over America who have this gift, who have no idea they have the gift. Paul says there's teachers among us, not just people who have a natural gift for teaching, grace builds on nature, but a spiritual gift as well, and have a capacity to open God's word and the truth of God in a way that gives life. Many of you who listen to Father John Ricardo's program here on Ave Maria Radio, Father John's a teacher. Father John's a very gifted teacher. He has an anointing for it. Now, he has the kind of gift, as I said earlier, Paul says we should exercise these gifts in proportion to the faith that we've been given. And that is, God gives each of us a deposit, or a kind of, you might, just for the sake of an image that might be helpful, like bank accounts. And he wants us to draw on those accounts for the work that he's given to us. He's given us the proportion we need of the gifting, of the spiritual power that we need to accomplish that thing he's given to us. So as a teacher, Father John has a big bank account. That is, the Lord's expecting him to draw on the gifts that he's given to him because he wants those gifts to go far and wide, and that's what's been happening. So it's just kind of an example. But you can be an outstanding teacher in your parish, in your home, in your family. Some of you don't realize it, but you have the spiritual gift to open up God's word and to teach your children the faith in a way that's going to really touch their hearts. So Paul is saying, be aware of these spiritual gifts and exercise them so the body can be built up. That is, your body, your family, your neighborhood, your parish, your diocese, you can make a contribution to the building up of the body so that the church would be healthy. Well, what does a healthy church look like? Now, Paul takes that up in the rest of that passage given to us in Romans chapter 12. I'll just read it and then reflect on some of it. He said, let your love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in your zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. And do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. If you'd ask the question, say you're a new believer, and you've just encountered the Lord, and you see baptism, you're just entering the church, and say, what does God want me to do? Well, there are specific things that he may call you to. For example, who does he want you to marry, or what kind of work to do? And you get discernment from the Lord on those things. But there's a whole pattern and way of life that all of us who are now been made who have now been made alive in Christ, a whole pattern of life and way of living that ought to characterize us, and each of us ought to be dialed into and have a burden of concern and ask the question, are these things operating in my life? Because what Paul lists here, this is a Christian. This is a Christian way of life. We're meant to have a very distinct life. And in a country like ours and where it's going right now, a radically countercultural way of life is what we need to be living. That's what Jesus wants to lead us into. Unfortunately, in too many places, the baptized look no differently than the world around them. And we vote the same, we live the same, we do things that the world is encouraging us to do and seducing us into doing that are sometimes just radically opposed to the gospel, but we say yes to those things. So Paul is saying, live the Christian life with integrity. Throw off hypocrisy. What does integrity look like in the Christian life? Perfection? No. But we understand the life we're attempting to live in relationship to the Holy Spirit. So Paul is clear. Let your love be sincere, not fake. Love is to will the good of another. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit who wants to help you will the good of your brothers and your sisters. He says, hate what is evil. This is a big deal for us. It's not so easy now. I mean, it's not so easy in this culture because there's a constant elevation of what's evil. There's a constant celebration of evil. I don't need to go into it, but you know it, you feel it, you sense it. Paul says, hate that evil. He's not saying hate the people. I mean, we know we ourselves have fallen and done what is evil and celebrated what's evil at times in our lives. And Jesus is saying, look, I want you to make a break from that, and I'm going to give you the grace and the power to do that. And when you fall, I want you to repent. Jesus hates the evil that Peter Herbeck does, but he doesn't hate Peter Herbeck. He loves Peter Herbeck. And I'm so thankful that he loves Peter Herbeck. So he's calling us to do the same thing. Today, the world is saying, if you love me, you have to celebrate and rejoice in my choices, whatever they are. Even if the Bible says they're evil, even if the church teaches that they're evil, you must celebrate them because they're my choices. If you don't celebrate my choices, you don't love me. That's a lie. That's not a Christian world. That's not the mind of Christ. He goes on, hold on to what is good. So hate what is evil, hold on to what is good. Let go of what's evil, hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. This is what ought to characterize the life of the body. Real affection for one another. Care, concern, compassion. Our hearts really turn and they're there for one another. So we don't feel isolated. This is one of the problems in the world. The devil isolates everybody and atomizes and sets us apart. And we're filled with loneliness and filled with a sense of alienation. And so he then serves up to us things that are going to help take away the pain of loneliness and alienation, but only lead us into bondage and slavery to him so he can destroy us. That's what he's doing. But Jesus wants to fill us with his Spirit and his love for our neighbor, his love for our brothers and sisters, so that affection would be mutual. And he says, anticipate one another in showing honor. And one of the ways we love one another is we honor each other. And I just want to continue to talk about these tomorrow, friends, to take them up, because this is the way of life that we're called to, a way of life we've been empowered to live. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.